Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2. 2 Peter 1 and verse number 2. It says, "This grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. This principle becomes a promise when practiced. This principle contained in verse 2 becomes a promise when practiced. And what a wonderful promise it is. I hope that it will bless your heart as I want to teach you this morning and preach a little bit on the subject of more grace and peace. More grace and peace. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Notice it's specific. The principle is specifically written to you that are here this morning, to me. And notice that it is a principle that when it is practiced becomes a promise in our lives. Now, I'd like to define a few terms to begin with, and certainly as we start, you want to make sure always to have your cell phones and beepers and bells and whistles and everything turned off so that doesn't distract anyone near you. And because we want to listen to the Lord. Now, you may be receiving a call from somebody more important than the Lord, then you can keep it on. How's that? We'll just have that rule in this church, okay? If somebody more important is going to call to the Lord, then keep yours on. But if not, we'll shut them off and we'll listen to the Lord's word. What a promise here. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now, first of all, you got to know what grace is, and you got to know what peace is. I think when you know what grace is, and when you know what peace is, you're going to want it. You're going to want them both. And this verse tells us how we can have more grace and how we can have more peace than we have ever had before. But there is a condition in it, and it is a condition that we need to practice. Grace and peace. What is grace? Grace is God's enablement. Grace is God's power. Grace is God's strength given to you to do things you previously couldn't do. I don't know about you, but in my flesh, I found it impossible to be a Christian. The flesh wants to do three things: eat, drink, and have fun. It's about all your flesh wants to do. It is not natural nor normal for us to do the things that God wants us to do. We need His grace. Grace is when God enables you. When God gives you His power, when God gives you His strength to do what He wants you to do, to go where He wants you to go, and to be what He wants you to be. God's grace is needed by everybody for everything. The Apostle Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." And he became something. He went from being a man who was a blasphemer, a murderer, he was injurious, he hated Christ, to becoming a man who loved Christ so much he died as a martyr for Jesus Christ. A man who lived for about 50 years after his conversion every day for Jesus Christ. A man who finished his course. He served the Lord for about 50 years all the time with a physical infirmity. He was never healed. And yet with a physical infirmity that was so bad that it affected his eyes, that the people of the churches of the region of Galatia wished that there was some way, that they literally wished there was some way they could have taken out their eyes and given them to Paul. They felt so bad for him because of his physical disability. They said, "We wish to God we could give you our own eyes." He lived with that physical infirmity for 50 years and probably became the greatest Christian the earth has ever known. And he told us how. He said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." In 1 Corinthians 15:10, and then he went on to finish the verse and said this, "And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And boy, he accomplished something in his life. He planted churches. He went on 3 missionary journeys. He led hundreds and probably thousands of people to Christ, all the time with a physical disability that most people we would understand if they said, "I quit." But he got something from God. He prayed for healing, but the Lord said, "I'm not going to heal you. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul then resigned to that and said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, for when I am weak, then he is strong." See, he got the grace of God. He got the grace of God, like verse 2, multiplied to him here. Multiplied. Well, I don't know what this grace is, but what it's done for some people in the Bible, I want it. Grace is when God enables you to be the father you can't be to your children. Grace is what enables you to be the wife you can't be to your husband. I knew a lady who lived with an unfaithful husband for 26 years, but she was saved and he wasn't. And she said, "I'm married to him. I'm going to keep my vows." And she says, "By the grace of God, I'm going to be the best wife that I can be." And for 26 years, she put up with his unfaithfulness and with his abuse. And God gave her the grace to do that. And eventually her husband got saved and has become a great Christian. God's grace can enable you to be the mother you need to be. Some ladies nowadays are absolutely petrified of even having children in this world. But God's grace is sufficient in 2008. God's grace is sufficient for your ministry. God wants every person that he's ever saved to be in some kind of ministry in his local church. And when God tells you what he wants you to be, it might shock you. And you might say, "There is no way that I can possibly do that." And you're probably right. But God's grace is available. God's grace is when he enables you to do what previously you could not do. When he gives you his power. When he gives you his strength. The Apostle Paul one time testified in 1 Timothy 1:12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." He said, "I thank the Lord." He said, I couldn't do this in my own flesh. The Lord enabled me, and here I am, almost a blind man, with physical infirmities that hurt me every single day, and yet I have finished the course. I didn't use it as an excuse. I found God's grace enabled me to be a preacher and a missionary and an evangelist with this infirmity of the flesh. I didn't have to quit. That's powerful. And besides all that, he was stoned 3 times. He was beaten 195 times on his back. He was left for dead. He was put in prison, I think, 3 times and eventually martyred, run out of town, everywhere he went almost. And yet he kept going, and you say, "What in the world possessed this man?" God's grace. See, God can enable you. There's not a one of us that has to fail. And we need grace, and we need grace multiplied, because the farther you walk with God, the more he's going to put on you. And the more he's going to put on you. And the more he's going to put on you. But the more grace he's going to give you. You'd be shocked if you knew today what God really wants to do with you. You'd probably run out of here. We'd probably run out of here like rats when the lights come on if God showed us today everything he wanted us to do. Man, I'm amazed. Of course, I study maybe preachers and pastors more than you do, but I'm amazed at some of the things God has put on one man in this life. And you say, "How does he do it?" He doesn't. God's grace enables him. The second thing he offers us here is peace. What is peace? Peace is tranquility in the soul and in the spirit of a human being. Peace is calmness. Peace is quietness in a person's soul, in the spirit of a person. The human spirit is our emotions, our attitudes, our will, our mind, our thought life. God can flood us with peace. The Bible says the last days are going to be perilous times. But there will be no lack of God's peace. He says in the prophecy in Luke 21, when the world's going crazy in the last days, wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, famines, earthquakes, and so on and so forth, he says, don't be terrified. Let not your heart be troubled. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Wouldn't you like to have more peace? This verse tells us how. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you to the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He wants to give us more and more peace. Do you have peace? Peace is a wonderful thing to have. Peace from God is a wonderful thing to have when the doctor gives you a bad report. Peace is a wonderful thing to have from God when you lose your job. Peace is a wonderful thing to have from God when you are falsely accused or slighted or offended in a church. Peace is a nice thing to have from God when you hear about terrorists and wars and crime. It'd be nice for us, as the world is going to get worse and worse and worse, for us to have more and more and more peace. And everyone's looking at you like, man, you just lost your job. Why do you have such calmness? Why do you have such quietness? Why do you have such tranquility in your soul? And why do you have so much tranquility in your spirit? Why? How come you're not agitated? How come you're not irritated? How come you're not overwhelmed sometimes with jealousy or envy or violent thoughts or whatever else? Why is that? I have peace. Where'd that come from? God multiplied it to me. Notice the verse says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. When God gives us grace and God gives us peace, He multiplies it. God doesn't use addition when it comes to these spiritual attributes. 3 + 3 = 6. But 3 × 3, that's multiplication. He goes, what? 9. He gives us more. You see, you didn't get all of the grace of God when you got saved. You got saving grace. The Bible speaks of saving grace, living grace, and dying grace. And then there's a whole bunch of sub-points under it. I found about 30 different types of grace mentioned in the New Testament. And grace is mainly a New Testament teaching and doctrine. But after you experience saving grace, and that's when God enables you to get saved through Jesus Christ our Lord, it's not of yourself, not of works. It is grace, God's enablement, God's power, God's strength saves us, not us. But then there's a thing called living grace, and God can give you more and more and more and more and more of it, so that you can be what God wants you to be. You can get through life in the church without getting offended. You can get through life in the church without being slighted. You can make it through church and through your life for Christ without getting your feelings hurt by His grace. You can be a Sunday school teacher or a children's church worker or a bus worker or a nursery worker or a soul winner or whatever it is God is prompting you to do, even though you may have had no experience for it. Do you realize no preacher, no teacher, no worker ever was born with experience? They have to be enabled by God. And you can, and God will multiply this grace to you, this power, this enablement, So that pretty soon people will be looking at you and say, how does he do all that? Or how does she do all that without going to pieces? By the grace of God. But notice this is conditional. See, this is a principle that becomes a promise only when practiced. Notice the next statement. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. It's personal, but it's conditional. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Through the knowledge. Now, here's where a price comes in. There's a price for this living grace, this serving grace. It's got to be through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So just jot down three things here that I want to just share with you on how you can know this grace and peace multiplied in your life. Notice it's through the knowledge of Jesus, of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. You've got to gain knowledge of God. To have grace and peace multiplied unto you, you've got to gain knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we do that? Well, number one, this is kind of simple. Well, number one, read the Bible over and over and over and over again. Read the Bible over and over and over. There is one book on this earth where God has written, and it's the Bible. There's a lot of books about the Bible. We can get a lot of good things out of that. But there's one book he wrote, and it's the Bible. And in there, he reveals everything he wanted to reveal about himself to us. And if you read this book over and over and over and over again, you will increase in the knowledge of God and of our Savior. And as a product, you will have grace and peace multiplied to you. For instance, I know a man, and some of you know Pastor Don Green up in Michigan. He's 80 years old now. He's been preaching longer than I've been alive. He has five sons. Every one of them is in the ministry. All five of his boys are pastors. And he did something right. Did a lot of things right. He made a statement recently that he just finished reading through the Bible for the 100th time in his life. 100 times. He's read through the Bible. Well, let me use him as an example. Who do you think knows more? The verse says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Who do you think knows more about God and of Jesus Christ our Lord? Don Green, who's read the Bible through 100 times, or this believer over here who's never read the Bible through once? Who do you think probably knows God and Jesus Christ more? Who do you think? Anybody want to take a stab? It's a real hard question. Probably Don Green. Would you agree with that? He probably has more knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord than the person who's never read through the Bible once. I think that'd be pretty safe. And as a result of that, he probably has more grace. And he probably has more peace from God than somebody who's never read through the Bible. He probably has more enablement, more power, more strength given to him from his relationship with the Bible and the knowledge that it has taught him about God and about Jesus Christ. He probably has more power and more strength and more grace, more enablement than the person who's never read about what God can do. Does that sound right? He probably has more peace because he's read through the book 100 times and he knows how it all ends. He probably has more peace than the person who has no idea what God's doing in their life or in this world, because he's read through it 100 times. I know a lawyer who's a tremendous preacher also. His name is David Gibbs. David Gibbs reads through the Bible from cover to cover once a month. Now, before you say that's impossible, this is what he does. He reads it for 45 minutes every morning, 45 minutes every night. And he reads the Bible through once a month. I wonder if we tested ourselves and forced ourselves to be honest and humble, how many of us have 45 minutes in the morning and 45 minutes in the evening. But anyways, about David Gibbs, what do you think? Who do you think has more knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord? David Gibbs, who reads through the Bible once a month? Or brother or sister so-and-so who's never read it through once? I'm not a betting man, but I'd put my money on David Gibbs. They asked him, why do you do that? He says, because I want to refresh myself with what God's about at least once a month. I want to get the whole scope, the whole spectrum of what God is like at least once a month. The knowledge of God. Now, what happens, according to our verse today, if we increase in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ? It multiplies to us grace. It multiplies to us peace. How does that happen? Well, if you read the Bible through from cover to cover, and I'm almost done with my 31st time, I'm not up to those guys. But I've almost gone through it about 31 times. My wife's been through it over 50 times. But you know something? You start reading about a whole bunch of people like you and me in this book. Harlots like Rahab. Fallen women at a well, five husbands living with a guy. Bunch of unlearned and ignorant fishermen. And you start seeing God use them. And you start seeing God giving them power. And you start seeing educated people and ignorant people and rich people and poor people and royalty and peasantry. And it doesn't matter. It's in here. God uses them. And after you read that over and over and over and over and over again, you see God's grace in their lives that God would use people like that, a guy like Joshua, to stop this. Stop the planet. And you start to say, you know, they're no different than I am. They're no better than I am. I mean, you have the faults of Abraham and the faults of Jacob and the faults of Isaac and the faults of Noah and the faults of David and the faults of men and women in the book and men of like passions. And you start saying, God's grace did this for him, and God's grace did this for her, and God's grace, and look what God did through him, and look what God did through him, and look what God did through her, and you start to step back, and after you've read through it so many times, you start to say, I wonder if God could do that for me. And you start to believe in his grace. It starts to enable you, and you say, well, maybe I'll try something for God in my life. Maybe I'll see what God will do with me in my life. And you get that from reading the Bible over and over and over again. God uses people and gives them his grace. And then as you're reading it through time after time after time after time after time, it gives you peace. It gives you peace. More peace. Peace is multiplied on you the more and more you read through the Bible. You start to see, boy, things turned out all right for this guy. Things turned out all right for Job. Things turned out all right for David. And things turned out all right for Noah. And things turned out right for this lady and this guy and this so on and so forth. And yeah, some of them were martyred, but what's wrong with that? Turned out all right. They ended up in heaven. And you know, all of history, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I know what's going to happen in the future. I know how the book ends. I'm not afraid of perilous times when terrorists blow up buildings and kill people and wars start and rumors of wars and kingdom against kingdom. And we hear about earthquakes and pestilences and all kinds of the seas waving, roaring. I don't fear those things because the Lord said that's all going to happen in the end times. And I've read the end of the book almost 31 times now, and it gives me peace. Peace is multiplied to me as I read the Bible over and over and over again. It's multiplied to me. I want to encourage you to read the Bible through. We have one-year Bibles over here for sale. They divide up the year into 365 days. If you want to go through it once a year, every day there's an Old Testament reading, New Testament reading, Psalms, Proverbs. Makes it interesting, gives you some variety. I've been using that for the last 3 years myself. Read through the Bible over and over again. Number two, have a systematic study of the Scriptures. Number two, have a systematic study of the Scriptures. I believe you can gain more knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord by having a systematic study. Now that goes beyond reading to study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says study. And then comes the hard part. To show thyself approved unto God. Study. The first one, 1 Timothy 4:13 says give attendance to reading. Number two, read the Bible over and over. Number two, have a systematic study of Bible. Now, some people can do that on their own. I have been able to do that. I've come to the conclusion some cannot. So we're trying to offer some things. In the bulletin, sometimes you'll find handouts to take home and study. We've got booklets back there through 26 subjects. The ABC booklets, you can take them. That'll help you in a systematic study of 26 subjects, and you write out the answers in your Bible, and we can give you an answer key to correct yourself. We're going to start our Bible Institute here in about a month. And I know there's an expense to that. It's about $81 a course, but that's a lot cheaper than you can find college courses anywhere else. And I want to encourage you to have a systematic study of the Bible and just get into the Word. And you will increase in the knowledge of God, you'll increase in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and the product will be grace and peace will be multiplied to you. In your bulletin, there's a little card. I want to bring this to your attention just before I give you our last point. I love the book of Proverbs. I've studied that book more than any. I've been through that book at least 100 times. In my life, the book of Proverbs, you young people, the book of Proverbs was specifically written to you, boys and girls, teens, young adults, but it's good for any age. It's the book of wisdom. One time, God in heaven imparted to a human being more wisdom than any man that ever walked the earth. His name was Solomon. That's a fact recorded in the Bible. Some of the wisdom God gave Solomon is put in the book of Proverbs. It's not Solomon's wisdom. It's God's wisdom through Solomon. Tomorrow is December the 1st. There's 31 days in December. There's 31 Proverbs. I want to encourage you, do not take the holidays off from the Bible. I want to encourage a month of walking in wisdom. Next week there'll be a different card, December the 8th through the 15th, and then the week after that. We'll go all through this. Here's what I'd like you to do. Read the chapter, one chapter a day. And then write down on the lines next to it the wisdom that you learned, just one bit of wisdom you learned that day. Get your kids doing it. Teenagers, you do it. Then compare these with your friends. What did you learn? Compare this with your wife, your husband, your kids. Use it for family devotion. If you're single, find some single people. Bring it back in your Bible next Sunday. If somebody asks you, what did you learn this week? Pull it out. I just started yesterday, I think, Proverbs 2. When we get wisdom, it will, number one, keep us from evil men. Number two, keep us from evil women. Number three, cause us to walk with good men. That's something I saw this week out of Proverbs 2. That's some good advice. Keep away from evil men, keep away from evil women, walk with good people. That's all I wrote down. It'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at the different things. Just carry these cards around church all month and just say, what did you learn? What did you learn? What did you learn? Oh, look at that. Yeah, I never thought of that. It'd be amazing. Have a systematic study of the Bible. If you can't afford the Bible Institute, come to the classes anyways. They're free. Listen to the material that's given. Take your own notes. And then last of all, number three, stay in fellowship. Turn in closing to 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament 2 and verse 13. You see, if you can increase in the knowledge of God and of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the product will be God will multiply to you grace, that strength, power, enablement, and He'll multiply to you peace. Everybody will think you're what's wrong with you. Don't you understand? The world is collapsing. The economy is collapsing. Wars and rumors. Why are you smiling? Why are you sleeping so well? Well, I got peace. How'd you get that? I learned about God. I learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. No tranquilizers, no alcohol. How are you getting through this? The peace of God that passeth understanding. It's keeping my heart and mind through Christ Jesus, my Lord. You know, I really feel that after reading through the Bible 31 times, I have more peace now than I've ever had. I hear about wars, rumors of wars, people blowing up people, and I say, wow, that's in the Bible. God said it was going to be like that. Perilous times, that's in the Bible. God said it was going to be like that. What a God. 2,000 years ago, He told me what's going to happen today. Got a lot of peace. But number three, stay in fellowship. Another way to learn about God, to learn about His Word, is to stay in the fellowship of the church and to come as often as you physically can come to the church. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, training hour. The more you can get, the more God's going to multiply His grace and peace to you. In closing, look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God which you heard of us, when you receive the word of God which you heard of us, a good preacher should be preaching the word of God. Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God, as though he were the very audible voice of God. If you're going to be a preacher or a teacher, men or ladies in this church, in your classes, don't get up there and give them what you think. Tell them, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? But he's complimenting this church. He's saying, I thank God for you without ceasing. I'm so thankful for this church because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. The word of God. I promise you with God's help, tonight at 6:30, I'm going to try to preach the word of God. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you what Pastor Cole thinks. That's not going to help you. I promise you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, I'm going to try to preach the Word of God in truth. I promise you. I know Pastor Seth. I know he's like that when he teaches. I know the teachers of our church, as far as I know, are trying to teach the Word of God. I don't care if it's kids' clubs, Sunday schools, junior churches. We're trying to teach the little children the Word of God. You know what they learned all week down, all month of November, five Sundays downstairs? You know what they've been learning? Proverbs. The whole theme this month of November downstairs is Proverbs. Kids, Proverbs. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 1, verse 10. They learned that. They learn kids, sinners are going to try to entice thee as you get older. They're going to try to tempt you, peer pressure. Consent thou not. Say no. Good stuff. It's not going to hurt any kid to hear that. And then finally it says this, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. God's word will work effectually in you. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, help us now to apply this. What a principle that if we will practice it, that is, if we will seek the knowledge of God and seek the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only knowing the Word of God, but knowing the God of the Word, you will multiply to us grace, enablement, strength, power, so that we don't have to fear serving you. We don't have to fear being a good wife or mother or being a good husband or father. We don't have to fear raising children. We don't have to fear the economy. Your grace will enable us even in poverty and health and wealth and infirmities, whatever. If we're living with a mate that's incorrigible, your grace can sustain us. If we're living with neighbors or fellow employees that are unbearable, your grace can sustain us. Your grace is sufficient for those with physical infirmities. Maybe you'll heal them, Lord. I don't know. That's up to you. But your grace is sufficient, and your peace. Lord, everybody wants peace, calmness, and quietness on the inside, but we've got to get to know God. We've got to know the Lord Jesus. Help us to study the Word. Help us to read the Word. And help us to stay in fellowship. And bless our invitation time now in Jesus' name. Amen.